Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. This is Bronco Tuesday, where we discuss the Olympic sports at Boise State. Now, here are Paul J. Schneider, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, women's golf in the studio this morning. Coach Nicole Bird, not here. She couldn't make it.
And pretty good reason, Paul J. She can't make it.
Did have a pretty good reason. Kinsley Bonfilio is here, along with Genevieve Ling, two golfers on the team. Kinsley from Bishop Kelly High School here in Boise, and Jenny's from Malaysia. Selangor, is that how you say that?
Selangor, yeah.
Selangor, Malaysia. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Why don't we mention first this golf team, outstanding students, great GPAs. Ocean, and you have to help me with the last name.
Pellowell
is going to be one of the speakers at graduation, and that's why Nicole is not here today. She's with Ocean as they're preparing for graduation in a couple of weeks. So quite an honor. Good job for the team.
Oh, for sure. It's awesome for her.
Why don't we talk a little about your tournaments coming up, Jen? You've got the Mountain West next week. It's at the Dinosaur Tournament where they hold it down in the Palm Springs area. So tell us a little about the team's prognosis heading into the tournament, what it's like playing in the Mountain West Tournament, and maybe what makes it different than some of the other tournaments you play in this year.
I think our conference tournament, we definitely treat it as like our biggest tournament just because, I mean, right now for us it's all or nothing. But at this point in the season, we're just kind of trying to have fun, do our best. I mean, for Dana and I, it's our last tournament. So we just want to go out there and have fun on the golf course. It's a great golf course. They just played the ANA Inspiration, so it's always in great condition. And every time we go there, it's perfect weather. So, I mean, what else could we want? I mean, in Palm Springs.
Yeah, Palm Springs. A little wind. Outside of that, not bad at all. Now, Kinsley, you recently tied for 34th at the Wyoming Cowgirl Classic, shooting a 73, 79, 75, 227. One over 73 in the final round, the lowest round of your career. So are you peaking at the right time here?
Well, I sure hope so. We'll see when we get down there. But
that's the thing about golf. You never know.
Exactly. You never know. Everything changes from day to day. The shot can change from shot to shot. You just have to be able to really know your game and really trust in it and have confidence.
Kinsley, what's the difference for you as a sophomore? Because you were saying that you didn't play in some of the tournaments because they take the top, you know, mm-hmm. five or six that go to the tournaments. What's the difference for you? Because it sounds like you're playing a lot better this year.
I think that last year, I think I put a lot of pressure on myself to be like, I'm the freshman. I really want to show these people up. You know, I really wanted to come in there and really make a difference. But, you know, I took a step back from my game and I realized that I had a lot to improve on. And I think these improvements have really started to come about, as we saw in the last tournament, because that last tournament, that 73 was my career round by four strokes. So that was pretty exciting for me. And Coach was very excited, too. She gave me a big old hug after that. So that was really hilarious.
Genevieve, you tied for 24th at that Cowgirl Classic. The top 25 finish, number 23, Michael Jordan number of your Bronco career. number two in the all-time list of Boise State. Got to feel good about that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think about stats like that. I just go out there and try to, I mean, obviously top 25 would be ideal in every tournament, but that doesn't always happen, so I just go out there and try to shoot the best scores.
How do you think you're better? We talked with Kinsley about her improvement. You've been here four seasons. Mm-hmm. How have you seen your golf game develop over the 4 years you've been here?
I think I'm just more mature about it. Like, when I first got here, playing in the wind was pretty intense for me. Malaysia's not that windy, so I came here and I had no idea how to play in the wind. But now I just go out there and it's like, oh, it's windy. I know exactly what to do. So, yeah.
One under par, 215 in the Red Rock Invitational, 269s and a 77. That had to be exciting.
Yeah, Coach came up to me and she's like, that's the gen we've been looking for. So that was exciting.
What are you going to do when you get down there? Have you played the course at the Dinosaur or not before?
I have not. It's my first time, my first go-around. So
why don't you tell us, you'll get down there. What do you want to know about it? You're going to play, what, at least one practice round down there?
At least one practice round. So we'll get down there Saturday, and we'll play a practice round Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the tournament. I've heard a lot about the course. We're now kind of preparing for it. So the sand's different. The rough is completely different. Like in Arizona, I mean, it was just fairways everywhere and tight lies and stuff. So this course is completely different course from what we've played. A lot tighter. I've heard many a times a hit of fade. So we'll see how that goes. But coach is really trying to prepare us for that course, and course management is really important there too. So we'll see how that goes.
Jen, you played it 3 times now?
Yes.
So what would you tell somebody that hasn't played it before?
Some of it is placement. You got to know where to put the ball and try to stay on the fairway because the roughs are really thick.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Genevieve Ling, a senior golfer, and Kinsley Bonfilio, a sophomore golfer. It's 8:45.
Now back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back with Kinsley Bonfilio and Genevieve Ling, golfers on the Boise State women's golf team, and getting ready to head on down for the Mountain West Championships at the Dinosaur Course in Rancho Mirage, California. Who do you have to who's your main competition? Are you up to date on the other teams? Have you played against most of the other teams in the conference?
We played against quite a few of them, but as I said, at the moment in time, it's just our biggest competition is ourselves.
we're just trying against the course.
Yes, we're trying to beat all those scores and just take it day by day. Yeah.
What normally, Jen, you've been there before, what normally wins it? Is there like a number? I mean, do you feel you have to, and obviously maybe the wind or whatever the conditions are might change it up or down, but is there a number that somebody would have to put up to win? Either, obviously, team numbers would be much higher because you multiply it by five, but...
So the individual title usually goes to someone who shoots around even par, maybe one or two under. So they set the course up that it's not too hard but not too easy. So you can't really shoot like 62 over there, but you can't really blow up either. So the team score would be around, I would guess, about 4 or 5 over.
Mm-hmm. So on pro golf tournaments, scoreboards all over the place. You know what's happening. You know who's making a move. Is it like that in college? Do you know when somebody's making a move?
We usually do not have scoreboards, but for this tournament we do. So we have someone following us. We have live scoring the entire time, so we know exactly where we're standing.
Now, somebody's shooting great for San Diego State, they don't tell you that, do they?
Well, if we're playing with them, we'll know. But we won't know. We usually don't know until after.
I would think that would put unnecessary pressure on you.
But you also might want to know what you need, right?
True.
I mean, if to get into the top whatever, you have to get a birdie or par, you probably would want to know whether you need to go for it or whether you can kind of, you know, lay up and play it safe, right?
You guys describe the two sets of golfers, the ones that don't want to know and the ones that want to know.
Yeah.
It's the opposite ends of the table, the opposite ends of the golfer's mind.
I don't want to know. Bob, you can know. I don't want to know.
Well, one of the things, I'm watching the Masters on Sunday, and we have the sudden death hole. Would you guys rather go first or second? Because we were debating that with Rose and with Garcia. Rose went first, had a bad shot. Everybody says, well, if you get a good shot, you put the pressure on. Does if you had a for one hole, I mean, is would you rather go first or second? Or does it matter?
We were debating that, too, as a team.
So what was the breakdown?
We decided either way, it's pressure either way. Golf is all about pressure, so it's how you handle it.
If you hit a bad shot. Now, see, next time, he's going to want to go second.
True.
I think he will, but I don't really think it matters.
If Rose made that putt, I think that would have been a game changer for Sergio. Because that putt did not look like it was going into me. It was going to go, so I don't know.
Well, then you hit a flag and end up getting an eagle, hit a flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
What's the luckiest shot you've ever had in a tournament? Oh, you pointed.
You have one, Kinsley?
It was here at Crane Creek. It wasn't in a tournament. It was like the absolute one time we played 18 holes for fun, and I hit the worst shot ever. I mean, if you've ever played Crane Creek, it's number 12, and it's a two-tiered, really long par 3. And on the right side, there's this huge canyon. And I've just absolutely whiffed a shot right with my hybrid. And I'm like, oh, great. Here we go. You know, it's going to be in these weeds. And it must have hit the rock absolutely perfectly because it went all the way from the bottom of the green all the way to the top tier and went straight into the hole. That was like my luckiest shot ever.
So you got a hole in one.
A hole in one on that par three.
On a bad shot.
On a terrible shot, actually. It was worse than bad.
First and only hole in one, or you had more than one?
First and only.
Jan, have you had a hole in one?
Nope.
This weekend? Next
Hopefully,
weekend?
Let's see. That would be a great way to end it.
Mm-hmm. Do either of you have a favorite golf course in the entire world that you've played?
Wow. Well, Jen, Dana, and I went on a spring break trip a couple weeks ago, and we went to Seattle to go see an old teammate, and then we went to Bandon Dunes in Bandon, mm-hmm. Oregon.
Nice.
And that is definitely my favorite golf course, nice. For sure. I don't know about her, but...
Well, I kind of like Dinah Shore.
Good. That's, yeah. That's very good. All right, KBOI News Time is 8:52. We're talking with Boise State Women's Golf.
Now, back to Bronco Tuesday on 670 KBOI.
All right, we're back. Got a couple of minutes left talking with Genevieve Ling, a senior golfer at Boise State, and Kinsley Bonfilio, a sophomore from Boise. They're getting ready to head to California, Rancho Mirage, for the conference tournament. How'd you guys do last year? How do you expect to do this year?
Last year, I don't even know what we did last year. I mean, last year is last year. This year is a new year, and
all
we're
right.
going to go out there and do our best. That's all we can do.
So this tournament, if you win, you go to the NCAA tournament, and this NCAA tournament, it's like basketball or other sports. That's the prize that's at the end of this tournament, correct?
Yeah, we go to regionals, and then if you win that, then you go to nationals. Mm-hmm. So same.
At what point did you guys decide, I'm pretty good, I'm going to try to get a college scholarship doing this? When did you decide that you might have a shot at that?
Well, I started when I was 12, so right before, like right in eighth grade, freshman year of high school, so I didn't really think anything of it until about my Christmas break of my junior year of high school. I decided, why not? Let's try it, because I really liked it, and I got good pretty fast, and I was lucky to find Coach, because I really liked her, and she really liked me, and look where I am now. It's perfect. Couldn't be any better.
Yeah, I kind of just had a friend that came here, so I was like, oh, I didn't know you could get scholarships to play golf. Sure, I'll try. And then I found Coach, so here I am.
And you're getting ready to graduate?
Yes.
What are the plans next year, Jen, for you? Do you know yet?
I'm going home, and then I'm going to come back in August to play Q School, mm-hmm. for the LPGA. So we'll see what happens after that.
That's nice, qualifying school.
Yeah.
Try to get that ticket?
Yes, and it's in Dinah Shore as well, so.
Oh, is it really?
Yep.
Gotta like that. Gotta like that. So, on the team, now you got the lowest scoring average, 76, on the team. Is it like tennis? Is there a number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Or is it just on how you score in any tournament?
Sort of, but it kind of depends on where you finish in the last tournament as well. So, like, Dana finished first in the last tournament, so she's going to play first in the next tournament. So it kind of follows your ranking and where you finish in tournaments.
All right, ladies, good luck in the Mountain West. Hopefully you'll go on to the NCAAs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
KBOI News Time, 8:56. Thanks, Bob. We'll be back with Idaho Talks Live after a news break at the top of the hour.
If you're talking about it...
They're getting nervous, and they should be nervous.
You know, I kind of disagree with what you're saying.
We're talking about it.
You know, I think it's kind of great that you guys have that duality.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Top of the morning, KBOI News Time, 9:06. You'd have to be some kind of spelunker to have missed the firestorm over the United Airlines CEO and the passenger who was removed from United Airlines flight by force.
Mm-hmm.
This thing has a life of its own. All right, when I first saw it, and I have been bumped on a flight before, but I took the money option, the free ticket option, and a night in a hotel option. But I was already on the plane, mm-hmm. in my seat, just like this guy. And they said, you were going to take people off, and they do it by by if you're by yourself, you're dead. That's basically the deal.
How do they make sure that they get your luggage off the plane?
I don't know.
Oh, but they did.
They got my luggage off the plane.
Okay, good.
And it really does delay the plane quite a bit. But this time, I didn't know, and I'm still not sure if I was bumped so a United crew could get on. It actually was a United Airlines flight.
Right.
But certainly didn't evolve into what happened in Louisville.
Right. Or on the way there, anyway.
On the way to Louisville, yeah.
Out of Chicago.
So it seems to me several mistakes were made. The passengers not knowing their lack of rights because they don't have any.
Yeah, that's basically true. It's,
yeah, they don't have any. If they want to bump you, they can bump you.
Yeah, it becomes, so once you're on that plane, you are under the FAA rules, Federal Aviation Administration, and essentially whatever the pilot tells you to do, you have to do. You may have purchased an expensive ticket to sit on the plane. You may have, you may be all settled in and got your stuff in the overhead. It does not matter. When the captain or the pilot of the plane tells you what to do, the Federal Aviation Administration says that's what you have to do. And if he says get off the plane, you can get off the plane and go see a lawyer if you want, but you still have to get off the plane.
Yeah, it's not going to do you any good, let me tell you.
To refuse, yeah.
The rules are there in the back of your ticket in very small print.
That shows. And these were basically, I guess what you'd call airport police.
Yeah.
Or airport security.
It was airport security.
Though they didn't work actually for United Airlines.
However,
United Airlines did call them and were the ones who said remove the guy.
And they were ridiculous. But the passenger also was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So they drag him off, cut his lip.
Yeah.
His face is all bloody. His glasses are knocked off.
Right.
They're dragging him down the aisle. It's absolutely ludicrous what they're doing.
Now, I mentioned this morning, I said, at my current age, and especially if they offered me $1,000 or whatever they offered him, yeah, I'd be off the plane and back in the terminal. And I'd say, okay, well, whoever I need to see, I'll see you tomorrow.
Somebody call me a cab.
Yeah, exactly. And however, I think back to probably as recently as maybe 15 years ago. I was saying 20 years ago, but maybe as recently as 15 years ago. I was in my mid-30s. And chances are I would have taken a similar position. I would have thought about it.
Yeah.
And then probably would have eventually just chickened out and left the plane. But if they'd have called my name, the first thing I think I would have thought to say was, call somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be somewhere. Call somebody else.
Yeah.
And that works about as well as what the guy did in Chicago. It doesn't.
So then the CEO comes on and pours gasoline on the fire,
mm-hmm.
completely.
He blamed the whole thing on the passenger.
Yeah, completely unrepentant.
He said, the guy was unruly. Well, yeah, you just told him he has to get off a flight that he paid to get onto.
Yeah.
And he's sitting in his seat that he reserved.
And his bags are already on the plane. But anyway, so it's raging on this morning after his letter to the airline's employees lauded the behavior of the flight's crew when a disruptive and belligerent Kentucky physician was dragged off the plane in Chicago.
And I should point out, nobody accused him of being disruptive or belligerent until they told him to get off the plane.
Yeah. Videos of Sunday's violent confrontation and the bloodied passenger went viral, drawing hundreds of millions of views around the world. Hundreds of millions. Social media outrage rained down on the Chicago-based airline, prompting a public apology from CEO Oscar Munoz, but in the letter sent to employees hours later...
Which is not a 100% apology.
Yeah, and obtained by numerous media outlets, Munoz credited employees with following established procedures when Louisville-bound United Express Flight 3411... was overbooked.
I will say this, the same thing I said this morning. Whenever somebody comes on to camera after there's been a situation like this and they say, well, we were only following procedures, that never helps anything.
No.
Because the only thing people say is, well, whoever created these procedures was a jerk.
Yep. The situation was unfortunately compounded when one of the passengers we politely asked to the plane refused, and it became necessary to contact Chicago aviation security officers to help. While I deeply regret this situation arose, I also emphatically stand behind all of you, and I want to commend you for continuing to go above and beyond to ensure we fly right.
Yeah. Munoz, yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and say, in my opinion, that's not what they did.
No. Munoz conceded, however, that there are lessons we can learn from this experience.
Yeah, don't overbook flights, moron. How's that?
And he promised an investigation. Going to get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Chicago aviation officials placed a security officer on leave, saying the incident was not in accordance with standard operating procedures.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Because, the airline CEO said it was.
Yeah. The man pulled off the United flight is David Deo, according to a source with direct knowledge of the passenger's identity.
Isn't that funny? His name is Deo, and he won go home.
Yeah, he did. He won go home really bad. When asked to remain unnamed because the source was not authorized to speak about the incident.
Yeah.
He's Vietnamese. One of the videos you don't see very often is him whipping up and down the aisle at a high rate of speed,
After they got him off the plane, apparently they turned him loose and thought he was going to go ahead and walk back to the terminal, and he didn't. He ran back into the plane.
Yeah,
they don't like that.
No, so he compounded it. Everybody compounded it, but United stock fell more than 5% this morning.
Good.
KBOI News Time 9:15.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
All right, so we are back. KBOI Rewards Code United, UNITED. United. Go to 670KBOI.com, enter United, earn today's 5,000 rewards points.
Got some instant messages. Dave of Boise says, was the guy asked to change planes? Well, he was asked to get off the plane. I don't think they had made any arrangements for him to fly.
They
had to take another flight yet. Because they had canceled a bunch of flights. And so that's why people were kind of packed in. He goes on, why couldn't they just offer a different flight to the same place? If the plane was overbooked, the passenger should be made whole by getting a first-class flight on another plane. However, we are going to see aggressive types of policing more and more. Interesting. Dave thinks that's the current mood of the country, that hard policing, I guess.
United spokeswoman Aaron Benson, this is the thing that gets me, said four crew members needed seats on Sunday's flight. If they weren't able to get to Louisville, Benson said there could have been a domino effect on other customers because another United flight was in danger of being canceled. All right, get that.
Okay, so their policy is we're going to inconvenience as few people as possible, but by golly, we are going to inconvenience some people.
Yeah. United offered passengers up to $800 in compensation if they agreed to take a different plane to Louisville, but no takers. Passenger Audra Bridges said one man then ordered to give up his seat, became very upset, saying he was a doctor. This is the guy they ended up dragging off, who had to meet with patients the next morning. Security officers came, and he was forcibly removed.
Funny, he had
removed.
To use that word, patients.
She's the one who posted the video.
Right.
Yeah. The video, of course, went viral. Everybody was shocked and appalled, she said. The video drew more than 200 million viewers in China, with many Chinese viewers expressing outrage.
Mm-hmm.
You would think...
This is not good PR. Now, at the same time this was happening, Delta lost a body, so that wasn't good PR either.
Yeah, the guy almost missed his own funeral.
Yeah.
He did miss the viewing. Sorry, the viewing will not take place. There's nothing to see here.
Yeah. Move along, nothing to see here.
Department of Transportation looking into whether United complied with the oversales rule. The department is responsible for ensuring that airlines comply with the department's consumer protection regulations, including the oversales rule.
I was told a long time ago, and probably you know this too, that more than likely, if something incredibly outrageous happens to you, in your opinion, at an airport, it's standard procedure.
Yeah. It's legal for airlines to involuntarily bump passengers from an oversold flight when there are not enough volunteers. It is the airline's responsibility to determine its own fare boarding priorities. Cell phone footage shows security officers pulling the elderly man from his seat to the floor. The passenger looks unconscious. His lip is cut. Other horrified passengers are
you can tell he's
screaming.
Not. Yeah, because he was also screaming.
Yeah, later footage shows the man bleeding from his face. United has defended its action. Airlines are allowed to oversell flights.
Yeah.
Listen to this. Last year, airlines in the U.S. booted 40,000 passengers from their seats. 40,000.
That was a bad week.
The number does not include passengers who volunteered to give up their seats.
Right.
According to the government stats, 434,000 people voluntarily gave up their seats, which you and I have both done for money.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
On the 12 largest airlines.
Or they say, we'll give you a ticket to anywhere. I'll take that ticket to anywhere. Thank you. Because tickets to anywhere aren't free, usually.
Yeah. When no one volunteers, airlines can deny boarding or bump passengers. Airlines are required to give those customers written statement that explains why, as well as compensate them.
Exactly. But, you know, here's what it was a bad situation, but United did exactly what their policy is to do. And when they chose somebody to get off the plane and he wouldn't get off the plane, they, instead of choosing somebody else, which was not their policy.
No, I don't think you can do that, Chris.
They got the airport police to come on the plane and forcibly get the guy off. And since the guy wouldn't leave, the airport police are supposed to forcibly take someone off the plane if that's what the captain says. So I don't think anybody did anything that was illegal, but it just does not look good.
And the unrepentance of the CEO.
Yeah.
Terrible. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
This is Idaho Talks Live, today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
All righty, we are back. Donald Trump's kind of regretting some of those tweets from way back in the past, like when Obama went to Hawaii for the last time. He got on him for spending money going to Hawaii, taxpayers' money. He has already spent in 80 days $27 million. And Obama spent $92 million in 8 years. They're saying he will surpass Obama's travel spending in the first year in office.
Assuming he keeps up this pace.
If he keeps up this pace. And another thing, he was always saying, how about the president's always playing golf?
Mm-hmm.
So far, in the first 80 days, he has played golf 17 times. In his first 80 days, Obama didn't play golf. Bush didn't play golf. And Clinton played golf 3 times.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you have ranted about something like this, and you have said, this is the worst thing in the world. The president's wasting money. He's doing all this stuff. Oh, he's just out playing golf all the time. I sure wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And then you become president and you do exactly the opposite of what you said. I mean, why would you do that? Wouldn't you, if you had made those statements, wouldn't you say, whatever we do, don't plan any golf and let's not plan any expensive vacations?
Yeah, at least for a couple of months.
I can't do that because that was one of my positions to get this job, was that I didn't want that to happen. Yeah. But it's like, now I've been elected. So
didn't Eisenhower put a...
We started over last month.
Didn't he put a golf hole in the White House lawn?
Something like that,
I think he did. Yeah, I think Eisenhower did that. All right. More trouble for... I don't know if it's trouble or not. Tell me what you think about this.
Okay.
Trump has warned China on North Korea, help solve the problem with North Korea or we will. It's basically what he said.
Yeah, I think China responds to that sort of thing about the same way that Russia does.
Yeah. He basically tweeted, I explained to the president of China a trade deal with the U.S. would be far better for them if they solved the North Korean problem. He added, North Korea is looking for trouble. If China decides to help, that would be great. If not, we will solve the problem without them.
And then if we decide we're going to solve the problem without them, what if they start helping North Korea?
Okay.
Because, well, I mean, 65 years ago or so, that's what they did.
Now, we have sent warships or are in the process of sending warships into the area of the Koreas. Trump sent the warning in a pair of tweets days after he met with Chinese President Xi Jinping. China traditionally has acted as a counterweight on North Korea, helping to moderate some actions of the isolated country. Trump indicated a favorable trade deal could await China if they stepped up pressure on North Korea. However, Trump also appeared ready to rein in the provocative nation on his own. Now, he's already bombed Syria. I wonder what he means by reigning in the nation.
My guess is something similar to what happened the other night, just in a different part of the world.
The tweets echoed Trump's
further east
comments to the Financial Times earlier this month, in which he spoke cryptically but forcefully against North Korea. China has great influence over North Korea, and China will either decide to help us with North Korea or they won't. And if they do, that will be very good for China. And if they don't, it won't be good for anyone. If China is not going to solve North Korea, we will.
Now,
that's all I'm telling you.
Is that a statement of foreign policy or is that a threat? How would you take it?
A threat. It's absolutely a threat.
And should we be...
Scares the hell out of me.
Threatening North Korea or China right now. Well, it's like I look at it this way. You go, well, that guy is crazy. Oh, yeah, he's insane. Stay away from him. Well, actually, I'm going to go up and threaten him just to see what he does.
Yeah. North Korea has drawn U.S. ire recently following a series. And, hey, don't get me wrong on this. I think North Korea.
Yeah. We could just do without North Korea.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fine. The problem
is not North Korea.
No,
China jumping in with them.
Yeah, basically.
Or North Korea killing millions of people in Seoul.
North Korea is a problem. And, yeah, I can understand why people would like to get rid of Kim Jong-un, you know, get rid of the whole family and which he's kind of doing himself anyway. But I just think that when you start telling China, here's what we're going to do. And I understand that. I mean, you have to be somewhat firm in foreign policy. You can't be seen as weak or wimpy or something like that. But you also, I think, should stop short of threatening people or saying it's not going to work out well unless you do this.
Pyongyang said yesterday it would hold the U.S. wholly acceptable for the catastrophic consequences after the USS Carl Vinson aircraft carrier and its battle group was sent to the waters off the Korean Peninsula. The U.S. and South Korea are engaging in war games in the region, which North Korea is suspicious of viewing the exercise as a practice for a hypothetical invasion of North Korea. Do you think we'd ever invade North Korea?
Not again.
I wouldn't think so.
I don't know. I just feel like North Korea is one of those places where if Kim Jong-un would just shut up, no one would ever pay attention to them at all.
Well, see,
and they could go about their business and do what they want.
But
well, at least he could. I mean, everybody else can't.
But he won't, and he needs the attention.
Yeah, as it turns
out. Because that's the kind of guy he is. Adding to the tensions, a Wall Street Journal reported this morning, activity appears to be taking place at a North Korean nuclear test site ahead of the April 15th anniversary of the communist country's founding. Can't we all just get along? Apparently not.
Well, no, I mean, we never had, so that's not going to start now.
KBOI News Time, 9:44.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. KBOI News Time, 9:49. Let's go to the phones and Gary of Emma. Gary.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Gary.
Remember last week I wrote something that you read on the air, Chris. The fact is the United States sent a wing of F-35 stealth planes to Korea, and that was quietly done before this movement of the carrier battle group.
And South Korea. Yeah, of course.
They moved them to South Korea right on the to our air base right south of the border. Fact is, also China has moved 150,000 troops to the north border of Korea. So we have a interesting thing going on there. It might be, we could think of that as China challenging us, but it could also mean that China is prepared that if there is a general problem in North Korea, they can stop the thing that everyone in the West believes is the problem about North Korea, China being afraid of a million or more North Korean refugees fleeing into China if there is a problem in North Korea.
Yeah, because what China needs is more people, right?
Well, it's not that. Nobody wants millions of destitute refugees. It's just expensive. The fact also is that the F-35s are capable of wild weasel runs or suppressing the anti-aircraft capabilities of North Korea. They can go in and take out all the command and control and the anti-aircraft facilities that North Korea has with their stealth capability, allowing then the planes off of the carrier to fly air cap and basically attrit the North Koreans.
Hmm. So we're basically, and so is China, we're ready to do something, which could be the reason North Korea keeps talking, because they're getting nervous.
Well, the father of Kim Jong-un went into hiding a few years ago when there was a threat from the West. And a lot of people, North Korea watchers, are saying if Kim Jong-un goes into hiding, that will be an indication of something.
Yep. All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Gary. Let's go to Robert of Boise. Robert, good morning.
Well, I hate to call in and debunk somebody, but I was stationed at Camp Casey in Korea in Dongdaechan, and I was a helicopter crew chief. That airfield's only 122 feet long. There's no way you can bring a stealth bomber in there.
Wait.
The runway's 122 feet long?
Yes, it's just a small helicopter pad. It is not long enough to take any kind of jet off.
Okay.
Wow.
Not at all.
Couldn't even get a Harrier off in there, huh?
You can get a Harrier, but the Marines do it over at another base, a Kaiju. They don't even do it in there. They'll do it an inch on. And most all of our military aircraft are all down. All our jets are in Seoul, South Korea, at that air base.
Now, how far away is that from where you were?
It's 2 hours.
Okay.
2 hours dead south.
Not in a jet, but 2 hours if you drive, right?
In a truck. It's a two-hour drive straight to Seoul.
Yeah.
Having spent time over there, what do you think of that situation now?
Well, when I was there, it was Kim Il-jung, this crazy guy's dad.
Right.
And, of course, they said all the time that he was going to invade South Korea and make South Korea a whole nation. And we heard that the whole time when we were there. And the first thing they tell you when you get to Camp Casey is if a war breaks out, everybody's dead here in 20 minutes because of the artillery. Anyhow, you don't even have time to get to your helicopter.
And it sounds comforting.
Because you're only 21 miles from basically being in North Korea. That's the forwardmost operating base. There's a little tiny base up there that just has sniper troops and Army Special Forces. But that situation over there, I think, is more rhetoric and more posturing. I think that the kid is basically a child in a man's body who is dying for attention every day and looking for a paddling or something.
Who's controlling him? Somebody.
Well, he's got his sister. His sister's who's in control over there.
Well, I mean, it seems like if you have a dictator, I mean, they have advisors, but a lot of their advisors just say, good idea, boss.
Well, he shoots his advisors.
Yeah, I know. They don't want to be his advisors.
No, he's killed every general he's had in the last 15 years.
Yeah. Not a good situation.
No, who wants to be his commander?
Say, General Walton, no.
This time it's going to be different.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
All right, thanks, Robert. Good stuff.
All righty. Bye.
Wow. 21 miles?
Yeah. What's that you usually say? We don't have any problems.
No, we got no problems.
Not compared to if you live in North Korea.
That's incredible.
Got a couple of instant messages here to clean up. We were talking about Trump and golf and Obama. Dave of Boise says, isn't golf a business meeting with world leaders? Why not do it on a golf course instead of an office? Trump does know more now than he did when he was against Obama playing golf. North Korea and Syria are allies and should be considered a very real threat. Nuclear weapons are no joke. I just hope the rest of the world does not leave it up to the USA to save the world by ourselves. Now, you can do a lot of business on a golf course, but it's still costing the United States a certain amount of money for him to go down to Florida all the time.
Well, yeah, and if it's not wrong for Trump to play golf, then it shouldn't be wrong for Obama to play golf.
Stands to reason.
As the way I play golf, there's no business.
It's wrong.
No business. It's wrong. It's very wrong. 9:55.